Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vasque, and welcoming you back to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the Inishu's mission, the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and is brought to you exclusively by the good folks at the Apostles Net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic world. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. We're up to the 15th podcast already. It's hard to believe that we went through the summer and we're already in fall here in the Northern Hemisphere. And I say that because I'm encouraged by all the mail we're getting from outside. I mean, in the Southern Hemisphere, I guess Africa, you people there are in the Southern Hemisphere, and as our friends in Argentina, Buenos Aires, it looks like we're going to have a chance to spend next genocide commemoration in Argentina. I hope everything works out over there. And I'm looking forward to making a trip out to New Mexico pretty soon, so I'll have a chance to meet with some of you out there as well. But it is very encouraging that people are tuning in. Our producer tells us that we've got quite a few people during the week. I was thinking that maybe it might be a Wednesday only kind of thing, but apparently during the week you're tuning in and downloading this podcast. So welcome if this is your first time joining us. If you've been on board for all 15 times, welcome back. This is a very special podcast where we're trying to reach out Armenian Orthodoxy, not just for Armenians, is it? It's for the neophytes as well, as people who are searching for something and know that there is an ancient tradition called Orthodoxy, and you can't get any more Orthodox or any more ancient than Armenians. I mean, we're the first people who've been around since the time of Christ in this revolutionary religion of love called Christianity. But it is also for people who are disenfranchised, people who have been part of the church but have felt alienated, but know that there is a tie. In fact, I know many of you have tuned in today to search for the message of the Muron. That's coming up in a few minutes, but that Muron is really that tie that binds all of us together, that puts us together in that big family called the Christian family. I mean, I always say that, you know, it's kind of interesting that Armenians have this immediate identifiable feature on their name. It's that YAN or IAN at the end of their name. It means the family of, the son of. It's interesting. For instance, I'm a Movsesian, the family of Movses. And sometimes it's put with their profession as well. For instance, Pujishkian would be the family of the doctor, or many times it's been Turkified. Like, for instance, Altunian means the family of gold. Somebody in the family must have been a gold miner or maybe a jeweler, we don't know. But anyway, the family of gold. And there's so many different family names. But what's interesting is you got that IAN at the end. It means the family of. Now think about Christian. Christian. IAN, the family of Christ. I mean, is there anything more Armenian than that? So when we talk about like the Armenian Orthodoxy, we're going back a couple centuries, not only centuries, a couple millennium, going back actually. Once you follow this out, you realize that we go back way back in time to the beginnings of time. But let's not go there, because today we're going to be talking about Muron. And I promise you hang on to these podcasts and we will go to the beginning of time, because it all interrelates. This is part of the universe. In fact, I'm looking forward to doing a podcast about this super collider. I'm sure many of you have heard about it, but on September 10th, just a couple weeks ago, they actually tested it for the first time, and this is a 17-mile long accelerator. And the fear over there, of course, was that what if a black hole has been formed? And of course, black holes are still in theory form. People realize that not even light can escape the gravitational pull of these black holes. So it gets you thinking, like, are we living in a black hole? I mean, the known universe, could that be a black hole in itself, that there's something even bigger out there. And what happens if we create one right here? And there's like a little hole that we end up going into, and all of civilization, just by turning on this switch. I mean, 7,000 scientists, 60 countries, 2 decades have been talking about this God particle, and what happens in these things. So I want to do a special podcast where maybe when we can get a physicist, we can get somebody where we talk about it, because this is interrelated to our being. Who are we as people? Where do we come from? What is the entire meaning of and purpose of life? And we approach it as religion, and some people approach it as science. And always people talk about the disconnect between the two, but they are so connected. In fact, when you get into the very fabric of being, you realize that it is as much religion as it is science. It is provable. It is out there. And so let's take a look at some of those in the coming weeks. But for right now, I don't want to go back 13 billion years. I want to go back a couple millennium, 2,000 years actually, to a time when Jesus was born, where we get the beginning of what is called the Holy Muron. In manutiun luso bein maras in jazan giseli sa schagets, mich den nastei in isul bernadan. Ah, yes, Arakelo Agavno. This is a song that we hear every so often in the Armenian Orthodox Church. And we're going to have a special opportunity to hear it this coming Sunday. On September 28th, the Holy Muron will be consecrated. And this takes place every 7 years. And it is the presence of the Holy Spirit. But before we talk about Muron and its connection to our life and how relevant it makes our life, let's talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. Now this song that we just heard, Father Mashtots singing, Arakelo Agavni, it is talking about a dove. It says the actual translation is, the dove that was sent came down from on high with a great sound and like the flashing of light. He armed the disciples with fire while they were seated in the upper room. And of course, this song is describing the Feast of Pentecost. But before we go there, let's talk about some of the main players. In Pentecost, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the dove, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, and definitely what we talk about as Muron is the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we talk about the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we can all identify to the idea of a father. Whether you've had a father presence in your life or it's been absent in your life, you still have that general idea of what a father is. In fact, Jesus talks about the father being somebody who cares and looks after the well-being, even the physical well-being of an individual from birth and throughout his lifetime to be able to take care of that person. That father is that caring and loving individual. And certainly in your life, that individual may not have been there or may not have fit that role, but certainly you can understand the idea of what a father should be. When we talk about son, we understand what the idea of a son is. In other words, a child, somebody who is part of a family and has a unique position within that family. And so when we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Son, we understand in a relationship with the Father, and definitely we understand in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we have his story, we have his parables, his teachings, we have his passion to look at. And so we understand who the Son is through Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about Holy Spirit, now we're up for a little bit of confusion there. What does that mean, the Holy Spirit? It's probably the most misunderstood element of the Holy Trinity. What is that Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is probably the least understood of the three persons of the Trinity. I mean, you know, like I said, we have examples of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What is that? Well, in Armenian, we call the Spirit Hoki. In fact, the name of Pentecost in Armenian is Hokekalust, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we read about the Pentecost experience in the book of Acts, but before that, Jesus refers to it. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, Jesus is giving a pep talk. In other words, he's with his disciples for 3 years. He's on the verge of going up to the cross. The disciples understand something imminent is about to happen. In other words, something terrible is going to happen to their friend, to their leader, to their master, to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Do not feel that I'm going to leave you alone." He says, "I will send a comforter, a counselor." And he refers to the Holy Spirit in these terms. Someone who will comfort you and will remind you of the love that I've been talking about and I have spread among you. And in Acts 2, we read that the apostles, after the resurrection, had assembled together, and they were feeling uncertain. They were fearing a lot of things, like, was this all a dream? I mean, Jesus was with us, he spread love, and all of a sudden he's not with us. What does this mean? And all of a sudden, it tells us in Acts chapter 2, it says the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples. And there appeared to them, this is quoted from the New Standard Version, it says, "And there appeared to them the tongues of fire distributed and resting on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now this, of course, there's a Pentecostal movement. This is where it begins, from the Pentecostal movement, that they speak in tongues many times, an ununderstandable language. But for us, in the Orthodox tradition, this is the beginning of the church. In other words, these disorganized group of men became the apostles. First, they were disciples, disciple meaning a student. They became apostles, coming from the word apostolos, or in Armenian, arakel. It means to be sent. And the word arakel is the apostle. Apostolos means to send. So Jesus now sends these men to go out. And what is the power that they have? The power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the uncreated essence. Jesus came to earth, he brought his message of love and peace, but he didn't leave us alone. He sent his Holy Spirit to guide us. And it is this Holy Spirit which we believe formed the church. Brought people of different backgrounds, a plumber, a sound technician, a doctor, a priest, a lawyer, a bookkeeper, a librarian, brought them all together with a common goal. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. It brings together people who are disenfranchised, people who are far away, around a common goal. I mean, think of it in terms of Congress. I mean, look at Congress. We're in an election year right now, right? Different political parties, they have different agendas, but they come together to do work. Well, this is probably not the best example, considering this current Congress, but you get the idea. Or United Nations. This week in particular, all the different leaders of the different countries got together and are talking about what we need to do for the world. Different cultures, different languages coming together bring about peace. Now, it may or may not work, but the idea is there, right? The infrastructure for it is there in the United Nations. Simpler, think of it in terms of people, two people getting together. I mean, you come from different backgrounds, you come from different families, but what is the core of the relationship that you find this common ground, that the Spirit brings you together to be able to talk, to be able to relate about things that are important to you and another person? The Holy Spirit is that force that brings people together, brings communities together, brings people together in a common expression, which is what? Love. It is that common ground called love, being able to express and give to one another so that you could grow. Think of an orchestra, different instruments, sometimes even a singer, sometimes different talents, different people coming together, and all of a sudden, what do? They produce a concert. You are in concert means you are in harmony with one another. You start playing together. An oboe doesn't sound like a trumpet. A trumpet doesn't sound like a violin. A bassoon doesn't sound like a French horn. A French horn doesn't sound like a timpani. But you bring it all together, and what do you have all of a sudden? You have an orchestra. You have a song. You have a melody. You certainly get the idea. I mean, if these inanimate objects, which we call different instruments, animated by human spirits, by human souls, can get together and create something as beautiful as a symphony, imagine what we can do with our lives that are full of animation, that are full of opportunities to reach out to one another. So when we have those opportunities to talk, to build relationships, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that is invoked in the form of love. That's what makes us want to establish relationships. That's what makes us, maybe despite the difficulties, despite the hardships, want to excel and try to create opportunities where we can love and care for one another. I mean, think about some of the relationships you have in your own lives. Some of them, you know, you have to go through quite a bit of difficulty to make them work, but it is worth it. Why? Because there is that underlying feeling of love towards that person. And it's no different on the broader scale. For society, you have a love for the society that you live in, that the community that you've grown up in, and you have opportunities to expend your love. In other words, to volunteer. In other words, to get up and go give your life for something beyond yourself. These are the expressions of love, and this is where the Holy Spirit manifests itself. I think that's why we have to look at church as community. That's the power of a church. Why? Because when you've got the Holy Spirit there, that means there is an endless possibility to tap into the creator of this universe. Endless in the sense that you bring in all different talents. One who writes, one who sings, one who plays, one who prays, one who is able to sew, one who is able to laugh, one who is able to run. And all of these different talents you bring together and you create what? The church is the body of Christ. In other words, you have that endless possibility of love. And that is the enduring power of the Holy Spirit within our lives. So just as a team, an orchestra, a family, or a church comes together, and in that orchestration you find a unity, it is also a place where each person is able to find their own identity. Listen to a bit more of the symphony. Each instrument also has its unique identity, and the Holy Spirit gives you that power to search also your own identity. I mean, isn't this what we're searching for in our lives too? We begin a life and we're looking for a way to express ourselves in different models and different circumstances, but also to find out for ourselves who we are, how we can exploit those talents that have been given to us, and how we can help something that is greater than ourselves. You know, by definition, if we say we're human, it means that we have faults. In other words, we're not perfect, right? And despite what people will tell you, or a significant other or a spouse will always be ready to tell you how you're not perfect. And despite all of the ones who claim to be perfect, there is still a lot of room where people can improve. Trust me, it's in everybody's life. As a priest, I've seen it not only in my life, but I have this unique opportunity to really be with many people, and all of us fall short of perfection. But what we do have is a heart, and each of us has a soul. And those, I've got to tell you, are just so beautiful. They are so bright. And together, when you put these hearts and souls together, you have an opportunity to really move in a very unique direction. You know, with all of our imperfections, the Holy Spirit is able to come together and bring us together so that we can see, we can dream of something greater than ourselves, something that we really want to strive toward. Think about the dreams in your lives. How can you make those dreams a reality? Sometimes you can't do it alone, but by being in concert with others, finding a yin to your yang, you are able to rise to the occasion and really touch those dreams. Are you still with me? Now I want you to think about the sacrament of baptism. If you are baptized into the church, many times people think about original sin and getting rid of, and how do babies have sin? And let's leave those for the theologians to discuss. People who want to talk about how many angels are on top of the head, on the head of a pin, will have a field day of telling you how little babies have sins and stuff like that. Let's think of baptism in terms of entrance into the community. It is the opportunity to add the IAN to Christ and say, I am a member of Christ's family. I am a Christian. Now, people say, well, you can't be a Christian through baptism because baptism is something that you don't understand as a child. Well, you didn't understand the first time you were born either. You had absolutely no choice in the matter. You happened to be born at some point in time. You happen to be born in some geographical location. If you happen to be born in the United States of America, you become an American citizen. You have no law, no knowledge of constitutional law. You have no knowledge of the political system. You happen to be an American citizen. And at some point in life, as you grow older, you may decide that this is the greatest thing in the world to be an American. And at that point, you don't need to go through another initiation process. You already are an American citizen. Or you may decide that, you know, it's not for you and you want to live in some other country and you renounce your citizenship, at which time you would go and take out the passport of another country, or you could be a person without a state and so on and so on. Well, the same is true of God's kingdom. As children, we are baptized into that kingdom. And when you become old enough to understand what's going on, you can say for yourself, you can say to yourself, well, I love it. I love being a Christian. I love the love that is given to me. And at which time, you don't need to do anything else except to live out the dream, live out that Christian lifestyle. Or you could say, you know what, Christianity is not for me, and I decide to follow some other religion or no religion at all, at which time that's fine. You could renounce your Christianity. But the baptism is the opportunity to open up the doors to a new life. It is the second birth, which Nicodemus was told in the Gospel of John chapter 3, unless you are born again, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, well, the water part is the baptism. But what does it mean to be born in spirit? And that's where in our Orthodox tradition, we add the sacrament of chrismation. Confirmation, chrismation is actually that holy chrism, that Holy Spirit being spread upon each sense of your body. It is poured upon your forehead so that your thoughts can be pure, on your hands so that you do righteous work, on your feet so you walk in the paths of righteousness. When you read the Gospels, you understand that Jesus, we talked about this last week or the week before, when Jesus was healing people, it was very important for him to touch people. It was very important for him to come in their space, so to speak. He didn't just stand there and see someone across the street and said, "You're healed," but he would actually touch that person's life. And even in the few cases where we see people coming up to him and saying, "Please heal my servant or heal my daughter," Jesus had that interaction with a person, not necessarily the sick person, but with a person. In other words, he built up community, he built up relationships, he built everything on love. And it is important to touch people in a unique way, and that's what the chrism does. That's what the holy oil does. It touches people. And so we find that in the Gospel of Mark chapter 6, 13. It talks about the disciples. It says they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So it wasn't just a question of healing people, but actually touching them, anointing them. And we see this anointing throughout the Gospels, throughout the letters of Paul, throughout the early Christian communities, and we see it very specifically in the Orthodox tradition. And so there is this tradition for holy oil in some of the apocryphal writings. Specifically, there is a book called the Arabic Book of the Nativity of Our Savior, in which talks about how Jesus' navel, and that little umbilical cord that comes off of a baby, well, that umbilical cord was kept in an alabaster box, and in fact, that umbilical cord became some kind of an oily substance, which later on Mary anointed Jesus' feet with. Of course, this is an apocryphal story, but it is an important story because it tells us that in the early Christian communities, the idea of anointing was so important. It tells us that in the early Christian communities, there was a sense of understanding that we needed to link ourselves to the early times of Christ. And so it talks about how that alabaster box contained this oil, which the Gospels tell us, the canonical Gospels tell us, that Mary came and knelt down before Jesus' feet, and there he anointed his feet. Now, this same tradition also tells us that this oil was given to Thaddeus and Bartholomew, who brought it into Armenia. In fact, Bartholomew was the one disciple that was missing from St. Mary's funeral. If you remember, a few weeks back we talked about that. And Bartholomew was also the one that came to Armenia. And Bartholomew and Thaddeus brought this holy oil to Armenia, where it stood dormant. In a sense, it wasn't used as much as it is today, because the church was an underground church at that time. But in 301, when Gregory the Illuminator came out of the pit called Horvirab, and there was the conversion of the king, Dertad, and the conversion of Armenia, this tradition of Holy Muron began and was celebrated in the churches as a means of passing on the Holy Spirit, a special anointing to buildings as well as people, consecrating people and consecrating individuals into the life of Christ. So remember what we talked about a few minutes ago, the opportunity to work in concert, in unison with others, was given through the power of the Holy Spirit resting upon individuals and building relationships, building churches, not buildings, but communities, where people got together and expressed the love of Christ, becoming Christians, becoming the family of Christ. This is where it began. Now the Holy Muron, or Chrism, is renewed every 7 years by the Catholicos. The Catholicos, in his duties as the head of the church, has the right, and has the right, to consecrate the Muron. And because we do have two Catholicoi, one in Etchmiadzin and one in Antilias, the great house of Cilicia, both Catholicoi have the authority to consecrate Muron. And each Catholicos in time has the ability to set the date of his first consecration of Muron, and then subsequently every 7 years he renews the Muron. Now what's fascinating about this is that the chrism, the Muron, is made up of 40 different flowers. It is poured in with a base of olive oil, of oil of balsam, and there's a whole formula for it. But the most fascinating part is that some of the old Muron from before is added to the new batch. Now, why is that fascinating? Because in the new Muron, every 7 years, which is renewed, there are molecules from the time of Christ. There are molecules from the time of the apostles, molecules from the time of Saint Gregory, from Saint Varta Mamegonian, from Datevatsi, from Shnorali, from the time of all the ancients to today. And when that Muron is pasted upon somebody, that individual is united with the past. He gains his identity. Just like the instruments in the symphony, together they make this beautiful concert, but individually they have their unique identity. You know, necessary for the progress of any organization is the ability to accept new goals and new challenges, whether you're an organization or an individual. If you're going to progress, it means you need to come up with new goals for yourself, new challenges. And truly, the successful people in life are people that are able to look at life and come up with those challenges. And part of the path of progress is dependent on our ability to build on our past. I mean, think about it today in this technologically advanced society. Technology gives us the prime example of this. We're developing today's, for instance, microprocessors based on a set of standards of knowledge that has been collected from the past. And history gave, and it continues to give us, the necessary tools for developing the current platforms while holding the key for our future expansion. And the same is true of the church. What we are today as a church is based and built upon our history. We recognize that the church is made up of people. Everyone who participates in church life affects and makes a contribution for the development of tomorrow. I mean, think about it. You have an opportunity to build tomorrow. The church is not only a reality which exists today. It is built on the past and moves towards tomorrow. And this is why I told you earlier that it's so important that church, our understanding of church is a community, not buildings. And that's why communities are consecrated, not just buildings. And we have a focus of bringing, well, basically doing the work of God. The work of God is making that kingdom real today. So this Sunday, when the Catholicos of all Armenians, His Holiness Karekin II at the Holy See of Etchmiadzin, consecrates the Miron, he will be assisted by a group of bishops, archbishops of the church. So when the Miron is blessed, yes, they put in the Miron from the past, but they also bless the current Miron with some artifacts, with some relics. The relic of St. Gregory's arm. They have a small relic which is placed inside of a golden arm, and it is stirred. The Miron is stirred with that arm. They have the actual spear which entered, lanced Christ's body upon the cross. It is called the Holy Gerard, and that is used to stir the Miron. And so with these holy, holy artifacts, a special holiness comes to it. And I've heard, I haven't been that close to the Miron when it is actually consecrated, but I've heard when you touch it, it is warm. The presence of the Holy Spirit is completely, totally there at that moment. And this is probably one of the most significant events within the life of a living church, because it brings in the past and unites it with today to create a tomorrow. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is beyond time, who is from beginning of time, uncreated essence, is now a part of our life. It is one of the most fascinating services because it brings in these beautiful traditions of relics, of special artifacts that were very much a part of the life of Christ and the life of the saints and the life of people before you and me. I mean, think about it. Every Armenian Christian has been consecrated at the time of baptism and christened with this oil. And today, when a new child enters the kingdom, enters that new door, enters that new kingdom, which is the Holy Church, that child receives a part of that. And that's the invitation to all of us, really. So whether you're part of the church from the day you were born, or someone who discovers it right now as something so special and so precious that you want to be a part of, the chrism is that seal that is put upon you, the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit that touches you, that touches not only your spirit, but touches you physically. And so when we invite you to confirmation, chrismation, it is an actual touching of the Holy Spirit. Remember the hymn that was sang a few minutes ago? The dove that was sent came down from on high with a great sound, and like the flashing of light, he armed the disciples with fire. Christianity is that opportunity to look at life and rebel against the difficulties in life by realizing that you are given the greatest armor and at the same time the greatest weapon. You are armed with fire. That fire is the Spirit living within you. You are armed with fire. And this isn't something very light. It's very heavy. It's the opportunity to rise to the occasion, to put away your difficult challenges and realize that as a child of God, just as Jesus in the upper room promised the disciples who were disheartened, he said, I will never leave you alone. In fact, I am sending you a counselor. I am sending you the Holy Spirit. It's realizing that you are also one of those disciples. a disciple of the 21st century, of the same tradition from the time of Christ, coming to you today and saying that, yes, I want to be armed with that same armor and with that same weapon that has been able to conquer all of the difficulties of life. And this is why I tell you, Armenian Orthodoxy is so special. Because when you look at it, the Armenian people were the only people who didn't have the big weapons, didn't have the mass armies, didn't have all of the military strengths that today the governments and the political parties tell you are so important. And yet this small group of people has been able to survive and prosper. Why? Because they've been armed with the fire. They've been armed with that weapon that conquers all, the weapon of love. That's what this is all about. That's what the Muron is all about this Sunday. You have an opportunity to connect with the past and really create a beautiful future. And that past, I talked to you about 2,000 years, but believe it or not, it goes back 13 billion. It goes to the time when God said, "Let there be light." It goes to the time when all of creation came into formation. And you have that opportunity today. So, back to what we were talking about, the neophytes, those who are just discovering Orthodoxy. Maybe this is the time to really take a step, a next step. To those of you who have been disenfranchised by the church, maybe this is the time to take a step, a next step, to understanding yourself as part of a solution to something big, to something that is grand, something that is beyond yourself. Something we call humanity. Well, we hope you've been blessed by this broadcast as much as we feel the blessing putting it together. If you enjoyed today's music, there was an assortment of things. That last piece that you heard was Arakelo Aravni, the Song of the Miron, and that was performed by Hachik Kazarian. Yes, the same famous clarinetist you've enjoyed on many Middle Eastern records, Keftime included. Hachik putting together a spiritual album of electronic pieces, Armenian sharagans, Armenian hymns, with electronic instruments, an incredible bit of work done a decade or so ago. And of course, the other music you've heard a few times on these podcasts, that was Desert Moon Song from an album by the same name. And we are enveloped by those riffs by the famous Jethro Tull Band. If you enjoyed this podcast and what we have to say and these messages, if they're touching you, please tell your friends about it. In fact, go on epostle.net, make sure your email's in there, and you will hear about it first come as soon as it happens. But do tell your friends about it. You know, we are trying to take the next step, really challenging not only ourselves, but challenging people to wake up that there are alternatives to war. There are ways to bring about peace, and it begins with love, a love that was established at the time of Christ in a very unique manner, a love that has been from the time of the universe but has been expressed in this sacrificial nature. Come and join us at epostle.net. Drop us some feedback at feedback@epostle.net. You know, we invite you to come up on our website. All of our activities and all of the events, projects are listed there, inhisshoes.org. For Susie, our producer, and for Ken, who's up in the booth engineering these shows, this is Father Vosking inviting you again to join us next week as we take the next step.